Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, during this whole season, we ask that you would set us apart for yourself, make us holy in your sight. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And you may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, Susan and I used to have a little garden plot behind the parsonage at one of the churches I used to serve. And we really enjoyed that. We enjoyed watching little seeds and seedlings grow up to become these wonderful plants that would produce abundant fruit for us. Tomatoes and cucumbers and watermelons and oh, the list went on and on. It was always amazing to see how those little seeds would sprout and then produce all of that fruit. Our Lord often used that as a picture to put before our eyes to show us important things. He says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. In this text that we have before us today, Jesus is telling us how to recognize those who speak words that are not from God, false prophets. And never in history, in my opinion, has this been more important than it is today. In this world that we live in that's so full of communication, so full of media, Satan is mounting a fearsome attack on God's beloved church on earth. Twisted, perverse distortions of God's word and will are preached all over the place. Now, Christians are attacked for saying that Jesus alone saves. Fundamental teaching. Christians are attacked for saying with certainty that hell exists, that Satan is a real being. We're attacked for saying that sin is a problem that is faced by every single man, woman, child, infant, unborn child. And that problem would surely bring about our eternal damnation if it were not for God's intervention, sending Christ to sacrifice himself for us on the cross. Christians are attacked for confessing that there are differences between men and women. Christians are attacked for insisting that the Bible alone is God's word. After all, people say there are so many different beliefs. How can the Christianity that's described by the Bible be the only way to heaven? How's that even possible? How can you be so bold as to say that you know the truth when you hear it? What makes you special? Do you hear the wolf hidden beneath the sheep's clothing? Some unscriptural preachers look the part. Often better, they might wear elaborate clothing, beautiful stuff. They might speak like Christian preachers speak, even better, more polished, more convincing, more able to motivate and move the hearts of their hearers. They may even know the Bible better than you do, and yet despise it. Will we recognize these false teachers? Will we recognize the false prophets? Jesus says to this, yes. Yes, by their fruit you will recognize them. So yes, we can recognize those who teach falsely, who teach things that God has not taught. After all, can a good tree bear bad fruit, or a bad tree bear good fruit? That's the point that Jesus is making here. It doesn't take a PhD to figure this out. Pay attention to the fruit. The false prophet won't be preaching God's word purely. The false prophet won't be seeking to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, but other fruits. Often the fruits of the world. And that's why they're so appealing. The fruits of false prophets are tempting. And they're ripe. They're tempting because the false prophet's ultimately seeking for gain somehow. God once pointed out to Jeremiah, that Old Testament prophet, that those who despised him were prophesying peace, while their listeners were merrily sinning their way along to eternal damnation. This was the situation in Israel before the Babylonian exile. And there amongst the slithering, pandering voices of those false prophets, here was poor Jeremiah, called by God himself to preach a real message from God that Israel was about to be destroyed, that there was great need for repentance among God's people. But the false prophets kept saying, peace, peace, everything's okay. The false prophet's fruit is also tempting because it's made to look like what we want the most. Think of how shiny and beautiful that fruit must have been on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil once Satan had polished it all up with his words and his coils. Think of how beautiful that must have looked. How desirable for knowledge. How delightful. The false prophets make their teachings look good and tempting. The false prophets preach that earthly success is within your grasp. Just name it and claim it, they preach nowadays. If you just pray for it, God, of course, has to give it to you. Fruit of the false prophets looks good because people want these things. They want to have more things. They want to feel better about themselves. And so false prophets will preach that sin is nothing more than a lack of self-esteem. Or maybe a little mistake. They won't tell you of the great offense that it is in God's eyes. Some will say, well, you don't need to read the Bible. You don't need to be stuck on those words. You have a direct line to God if you'll just follow what I say. They say that in the day that you eat of their fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Only they don't say it with those words, because we'd recognize those, I think. The fruit of the false prophets is tempting. But I tell you, take a whiff, because it's not just ripe looking, it's ripe. It's decaying. Even before it falls from the branch, it's perishing, it's dead and rotting, and it smells to high heaven. So take a whiff. If you can smell decay, if you can see that what they're saying is ultimately worthless and meaningless as time passes, then you should be able to see what it is. Ultimately worthless in eternity. A waste, filth, and decay that's going to pass away with this world. The false prophets of Jeremiah's day, they kept on saying, no worries. Be happy. Probably heard that line. They kept on trying to make people happy, to profit off of them, to stay on their good side, and to remain popular. And faithful Jeremiah, in the midst of all of this, he's calling out, repent, repent. And the foolish Israelites paid no mind to him. They paid no mind to the word of God, until the hammer broke down every stone in Jerusalem, destroyed the place, and carried off all the people into exile in Babylon. Oh, how hard and distasteful the fruit of the true prophets appears to sinful man. God again and again calls out through his true prophets. He says, don't let yourself think that you're okay. Don't let yourself think that you can fix yourself and get right with God. Don't think you can fix your world. Don't think that this world is going to last much longer at all, really. God does not have a happy message for anything that's attached to this sinful and dying world of ours. You and I, we are touched by sin. We are steeped in it. We are born in it. It's part of us. And the best we can do is hide it with fig leaves and excuses like Adam and Eve did. Dear Lord, no wonder you speak so harshly to us at times. We must be pretty foolish to think that we can hide anything from him. Our shame, our guilt, our selfishness, our hard hearts. The fruits of the true prophets, they do indeed look distasteful to us and hard. God says, believe and repent. He says that we should trust him with everything, with our lives. And I suppose in the abstract, that doesn't seem like much. But think about what that means. We're to entrust all our time to him. Look at your calendar sometime. We're to entrust him with all our love. Look at your relationships. Our money. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. Look at your checkbooks. And he says, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Turn away from your former way of life. It's empty. Now all these things are too hard for us. It's way too scary. And if you don't believe it, just think about these things. Just think about that the next time you're at the grocery store. Turn around and talk to that person behind you about Jesus. Out of the blue, go ahead. I think you'll feel some of what I'm talking about, some of what's in our hearts when you think about doing that. It's a scary proposition for most of us. But just imagine what it will be like to face the eternal God. We dare not ask God to give us what we deserve, or we'll get our just deserts. The coconut. How's that for a transition? The coconut is a wonder of nature. It's distasteful looking and hard on the outside, but once the shell is opened, what do you find but pure white and oh so sweet? Thank God that his message through his prophets is like this. God's true prophets cannot just proclaim the hard law that shows us our desperate need for God to intervene. God's true prophets must declare also that sweet message of the gospel. The law is for those who need to hear of their sins and to repent. The gospel is for us broken sinners who need God's help. God's true prophets must show the sheep, God's sheep, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the real fruits of the Spirit, not of the world. They must, because only these things are imperishable. Only these things are from God. Only these fruits are sweet and eternal. Only these are the fruits of the tree of life that stands in the midst of the heavenly Jerusalem. And even this sweet message is foolishness to those who are perishing. The false prophets are the first to deride it. What silliness, they say, that some guy 2,000 years ago could save us. Rubbish, they say. Let them go. We can't change their hearts. That's for God. No, we are God's true prophets. We must speak his word. We must speak of the way and the truth and the life. We call out with Jeremiah to this generation, believe and repent. We cry out with Paul and the other apostles and true prophets, Abba, Father, dear Father in heaven, because he saved us. And we call out with Paul, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We know that Jesus lived the life that we should have lived, never had his priorities mixed up. We know that he gave that life for us on the cross to pay for our sins, that perfect life, one man for all of us. We know that God credits to us by faith everything that Jesus did, and it was perfect. He's blotted out our sins and replaced them with Jesus' righteousness. God looks at us as his own dear children. Unconditionally, he proclaims to us, I love you. That's our heritage. That's what the true prophets of God are to speak. The law and the gospel. That unconditioned message of God's riches at Christ's expense. This grace, this undeserved love of God for the world. That's in God's heart. Fellow redeemed, don't settle for the rotting fruit of Satan's lies. Stay away from that. Come and eat the fruit of the tree of life, the fruit of the cross of Christ. No angel will stand in your way because the Son of God has opened heaven's gates for you. You belong there with him. It might seem hard and distasteful at times, bitter even with suffering. Too candid in recognizing sin. But inside is that pure white of total free forgiveness and eternal life. And it's God's gift to you. This is the paradox of the cross, isn't it? Death making life and sin upon the sinless one and sinlessness for the sinners. Many against one and one for many. This isn't a message the perishing want to hear. But for us, It is life. Life eternal. May God bless you with his pure word and make you to be his pure prophet in this world. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.